and a bodaciously delicious hello to you from sunny Hungary this time, where the action never stops, even as we change our souls. Just like in Vancouver, the only difference is that right now it's 10 a.m., it's about 24 degrees outside, that's Fahrenheit, not Fahrenheit, centigrade. So it's pretty warm, whereas in Vancouver, when I checked it with some friends yesterday, well, it was about half of this. So there is some nice sunshine over here. So this is Tom bringing you the September 2011 issue of Tomicide Solutions. I know you may say, well, hey, it's October already. Yep, there's been a little delay. I've written up the newsletter partially while I was still in Vancouver, and then the journey, and then recovering from the jet lag and setting up the machine over here. So and now everything is up and running, so I finished the writing and now I can do some chin wagging. So this month we are going to talk about how to use after action reviews to debrief IT consulting projects, how to use AARs, after action reviews, to create a big bang basically to finish the project and leave a great impression in the client's mind. Speech coaches have been teaching us for years that the most important parts of the speech are the beginning and the end. Pilot instructors teach their students that the most dangerous parts of flying are takeoff and landing. And I know from experience that the two key moments of skydiving are leaving the plane and landing. In skydiving, there is a third moment, the opening of the chute, the deployment of the canopy, but that's just a interesting point. In IT projects, there are two key moments, the start and the finish of the project. Today, we're going to discuss how you can finish your project with such a big bang that impresses the living daylights out of your clients so they can better remember you for future projects. So let's see where it all started. To say that IT projects are complex is just as much of an understatement as saying that Pol Pot was a naughty boy involved in some minor mischief. To perform well during projects, all professionals must be technically skilled with high moral and ethical standards. Managers must use every educational opportunity to improve their people skills to provide higher quality services and, of course, charge for it. One aspect of that skill development is the debrief at the end of projects, when all participants discuss what's happened and what can be done better the next time. I came across this concept of the after action review during my own military service in the early 80s. The concept of AAR reviews, after action reviews, originates from the army, although apparently it was some of Julius Caesar's generals who used it. See commentaries on the Gallic War. Military, but not modern military, but Caesar's army. The AAR is a structured process of reviewing military missions and maneuvers, and since it's become so successful for the military, businesses have adopted it too, although this is interesting. The essence of the AAR is that during the AAR debrief, ranks disappear. This can be done in a small or medium-sized company, but not in a large, politically driven public companies that tend to have a chronic overdose of brown noses petty dictators and other corporate cretins who would rather die than relinquish their position power even for one single meeting. AAR is different from the traditional corporate debrief process in several aspects. And AAR is a let's compare notes session to compare the intended and the actual achievements. It's not an individual performance review process. By contrast, the typical corporate debrief process is a proverbial slaughterhouse. Find out what went wrong, blame it on someone, and this person is selected well in advance, and that person is usually, if a consultant is available or an external professional who facilitated something, contractor, whoever, let's try to blame the outsider first. If they don't have an outsider, then they just find someone who can be blamed for their cock-up, and then the person, the scapegoat, can be dealt with accordingly. Basically, figuratively speaking, chop his head off, just like, you know, in a slaughterhouse. The main reason for this difference is that the military practices teamwork, whereas the corporate world, by and large, merely talks about it and trains experts on teamwork. Have you ever met someone who's got a PhD in teamwork? There are not many out there. I've met, I think, two or three in my whole life. Interesting people. And some people who have PhDs in leadership. Holy shit, if you want to meet people who are conceptually lost as a nun in a whorehouse, these are the people. So, why to use AARs? Companies large and small are riddled with all sorts of sophisticated performance evaluations, not to mention the more and more sophisticated performance enhancing tools, CRM. No, I'm not talking about Viagra. I'm not talking about Cialis and other kind of performance enhancement. But performance in general hasn't really been growing. But there is a world of difference between individual performance evaluation and overall project evaluation. The AAR does overall project evaluation. But if AARs are so good, the question is, why do so many managers stick to performance evaluation? Simple. They get their kicks from reprimanding people. They may be too old for sex or too dumb for doing anything meaningful, but they are sufficiently messed up in the head to practice management by browbeating their people on a regular basis. That they think that gives them power. There's a huge difference between evaluating a project and wielding the sword of some position power and slashing and cutting people here and there in little pieces. There's a reason why Peter Drucker said many years ago, 90% of what we call management consists of making it difficult for people to get things done. So let's focus on the overall accomplishment of the project. The other reason to do AARs is because this is how the brain works. In the brain, there is a primary effect and a recency effect. They refer to the brain's ability to recall information and were extensively researched and coined by German psychologist Hermann Ebbinghaus. So look at that little scribbling below. Just click on it and you will see the big version, the high resolution version. As you can see, the brain can excellently recall information from the beginning of an event and fairly well from the end of the event. Now, this requires you start your projects with a blast. So, something that opens people's eyes that, whoa, this is brilliant, this is, we are getting somewhere. And then they will remember the end of it, but they will forget the middle of it. So, we don't have to worry about that. So, it's one thing that you start your projects with a big bang, but you have to create another big bang at the end of the project to make it memorable. Many great projects end in dull harms. So regardless of how successful they've been relative to the preset objectives, they fail to become memorable experiences. The AER is the very last part of the project, and if facilitated well, it can turn the project into a hell of a experience for the client. Even if you've had some blunders during the project, a great AER can save your ass and put your company a pedestal in your client's mind. So where to run these AER meetings? I recommend two types of AER sessions. External AERs are to be held on the client's premises, since it needs major client involvement. Both on your company's side and the client's side, it involves all the project participants. Yes, the group can be a bit large from time to time, and this is why I recommend to use a dedicated facilitator, dedicated and skilled facilitator. I prefer to give this role to a woman because they are more emotionally aware of the quote-unquote tone of the meeting, whereas guys tend to plow through the meeting without considering participants' emotional states. In my experience, women are better at both doing the meeting and providing a unique experience for all other participants. The external AER focuses mainly on the overall achievements and how the client is better off as a result of doing the project. Internal AERs are to be held on home turf. If possible, it should be facilitated by the same person who facilitated the external AER, meaning that usually the external AER comes first. The internal AER focuses mainly on how the team delivered the contracted value and how well that value was captured in the project's fee. This is where the company's chief value officer can chip in and present his observations. This is also the place for evaluating participants, but not in a blaming way, but rather in a what can you do better next time way. Now, let's take a closer look at the phases of AER. There are basically four phases: planning, preparing, conducting, and following up using the results from the AER. Planning, basically you select a qualified facilitator, review your company's existing educational programs and plan the integration of the newly learned material into it. Select date and time for the AER. Determine who will attend the AER meeting. Select the location for the AER meeting. Choose the required equipment, projector, audio, video, whatever you need, and review your AER plan. The second phase is preparing. Preparing basically includes reviewing educational objectives based on the AERable project's objectives. Identify key points that the facilitator has to pay extra attention to. Collect observations from project team leaders and team members. Organize observations based on key teaching points. Evaluate the selected AER location and change it if necessary. Prepare the location for the AER meeting and conduct a dress rehearsal for the meeting. Now, the AER meeting itself, the conducting, require maximum participation, lay down the ground rules of participation, no personal attacks, no cutting into each other's words, etc. For internal AER, maintain focus on the educational objectives. For external AERs, maintain focus on the value the client received and basically the improvements, any kind of qualitative, quantitative improvements the client can has already experienced and is expecting to experience. And the last stage, following up using the AR's results, identify areas for further skill development, remedy all occurred problems, and document all procedural improvements in the appropriate procedure manuals. Compile and send out post-AAR summaries both to clients and the appropriate senior executives for review. So now let's see how to run these AAR meetings. To make AARs more effective, always appoint a skilled facilitator who has somewhat familiarized herself with the project. Short, interim AARs can be facilitated by project leaders. AARs on larger projects have to be facilitated by an external outsider, an objective outsider, not by a project team member. Here are some basic ground rules for AARs. The AAR is for learning, not for performance evaluation or criticism. Participants are to show up on time. Company hierarchy and job positions vanish. There must be separate people. Three separate people must be the facilitator, the scribe, and the recorder, audio or video, whatever you prefer. The point is, there must be an objective record of the meeting. The scribe may fall asleep, may get hit by a beer truck, eaten by elephants, but the recording is there. Keep the meeting high level. Its goal is to integrate the lessons learned from projects into learning objectives. It establishes the root causes of both successes and failures. It assists to establish common perceptions for the whole project team. It acts as a platform for conflict resolution between team members. Fighting team members. It provides a forum to place, establish, and reinforce group norms. Confidentiality of AAR sessions. The idea behind the whole AAR process is that people must be bone honest about their feelings and experiences during the project. So, to assure 100% honesty, people have to know that everything they do and say stays top secret and 100% confidential. Yes, the overall summary of the AAR meeting is available to others too, but the details leading to the summary are not available. They are confidential. It's like Coke, basically. It's available for the public. You can buy it drink it in any amount you want to, but the ingredients and the ratios of those ingredients are not available for the public. Actually, I'm even thinking that with a little Google search on the web, you can find even the ingredients of Coke. What you certainly won't find is the ratios of the ingredients. If it's absolutely necessary and if all designated participants agree, a very limited number of non-designated people can attend AAR meetings, but only in observer mode, silently sitting in the corner on a beer crate or a sack of potatoes. But they can't talk. They also have to agree to be hanged, drawn, and quartered if they spill the beans to the outside world on what they've just experienced. And if confidential information leaks, then find the source of the leak and fire the person right away. It may sound harsh, but this is how you create a safe space where people can express their concerns about something honestly. It's that simple. So you have to weigh up what is more important, that people feel that people know that it's a safe place, or basically favoring the perpetrator all the time. That, okay, you broke the ground rules again, but we'll forgive you again. No, it doesn't work that way. The other consideration is project cost and quality. Using the image below, let's take a closer look at what we can use, how we can use the project cost quality matrix to evaluate how well the project team has delivered the project's specifications. In the original agreement, it specified what required quality, RQ, is to be delivered at what cost, required cost. The buyer can increase the quality to a desired level, but that requires a higher cost. The discretionary amount that is available, if the X value is available. As you can see, in order to reach required quality, the quality improves much faster than it cost increases. Beyond RQ, the cost starts increasing more quickly than quality improves. The problem is when sellers want to please their clients by doing beyond desired quality, click over to wasted quality mode and don't get paid for it. This is happening quite often. In this region, even the tiniest quality improvements require very high costs. So the project is to be evaluated on how effectively the required value was delivered and how well the seller captured that value in the project's fees. If the client wants higher quality, DQ level, or beyond, that higher quality has to be paid for. So the lesson is that if you get paid required quality, don't try to deliver desired quality. If your clients request desired quality, then they have to pay for desired quality. And if your brain is not spinning yet in your skull, then this is the time to have a very stiff drink. You can even opt for a large glass of Pangalactic Gargle Blaster, as you can find it in Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But we don't have that now. So, if you have some gray matter left to pay attention, then let's continue. Anatomy of the AAR session. For the structure of the AAR process, there's a separate PDF worksheet. That's the worksheet I use more or less the way it is for my own AAR processes. It outlines all the participants, the agenda, and all that. So it works really well. And then after that, I write up the most important point of the AAR, and in the form of a report, I send that to the client that, okay, now we are done, we finished the project. Well, summary. In my view, one of the best ways of creating a wow experience for your clients is the AAR process. It makes clients dig deep inside themselves about what they want to achieve in the long run, basically, and how to give their best efforts to pull it off. Yes, the technical expertise matters a lot, but going from good to great, we need more than mere subject matter experts. And in my experience, this extra lies in the AAR process. See how you can use AARs to raise your project experiences for your client to become the second best thing, basically. So now I leave you with the action step. See how you can raise your project experiences. So for clients, your projects become the second best thing after sex. Well, on some days. On that note, this is for September. How we can use the military's AAR after action reviews to debrief projects and create excellent experiences for clients. Hopefully you found some valuable points here, and then we talk in a few weeks.